This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz every Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Our friend Larry Anderson. I'm sorry, I called you friend. Is it okay if I call you our friend, Larry Anderson, L.A.?
Yeah, just don't do it a whole lot.
Okay.
You know, but
Jack uses it to get restaurant reservations.
Yeah. Way in the back.
Yeah. So we had the first NL East championship since 2011. Can you put some context on that about what you think it means to the team overall? To, you know, quite clearly the World Series is the goal, but what this small goal on the way to it means?
I think it's a big stepping stone. For a team that, you said, what, 13 years, it's a huge accomplishment. And I think, I mean, the players can say they expected to do that. I mean, they hope to do that. When you go into spring training, you got to go in believing you're going to win the World Series. You have to go in with that attitude and that mentality, or, I mean, you don't have a chance if you don't think that. Mm-hmm. And the first part of doing that is winning the division and hopefully carrying on forward, getting the bye. And go from there. But I think it's a tremendous accomplishment, especially in this division. Even though the Mets start off slow and they've had all the injuries, you never know what's going to happen. So for them to go almost wire to wire, I think is tremendous.
Yeah, and it has to be a good feeling for these guys, L.A.
Yeah.
They set this out as one of their goals. They weren't shy about talking about it and speaking on it. And to see that banner flying out there in center field, there has to be a sense of pride there and of accomplishment. And I think it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's certainly it's a great accomplishment, but it's I guess they could look at it and saying, well, it could be a little tainted if that's where it ends.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Yes. Yes.
But I think it's a confidence builder and it's a stepping stone to get to where they want to go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way they look at it. And I guess rightfully so, but it's certainly there's more boxes to check even before the regular season's over.
How much do you think, I thought about this the other day, how much of the Mets getting off to a slow start, they started off pretty slow, and then the Braves with the injuries they had pretty much throughout the first half of the season, and the Phillies getting off to a fast start. I guess I'm getting to the lethargic second half of the season that the Phillies sort of played baseball, 500 baseball. I'm wondering if not being pushed by the Braves or the Mets early in the season gave them this false sense of security to where they kind of took their foot off the gas.
Well, I think, there's no question about it. It's the first half was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it certainly helped that both those other teams in the division were struggling. The Braves, obviously, with the injuries, they were just decimated with the injuries, and the Mets just weren't playing well. I think that gave the Phillies a lot of confidence, saying, hey, we can win this. We got to win this thing. It's our time. And they got off to such a big lead. I don't want to say they took their foot off the pedal, but it's almost like they felt like they had it in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to kind of cruise. I don't know. I mean, it's crazy because if you look at like the overall team batting average, it didn't vary a whole lot throughout the year. I think one of the things that changed a lot was just our lack of hitting with men in scoring position. And it seems like between that and the number of strikeouts in this second half, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like really, for me anyway. Okay. But it's the perception is it's like that to me, you know, that, that it looked like they might have taken their foot off the pedal a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they weren't trying or anything, but things that shouldn't happen like they did in the first half. And you expected the way that first half went that they would, you know, maybe set the record for wins in a season.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, now it's, no chance to even get to 100.
So you mentioned boxes left to check in the regular season. One that I think we're all pretty sure they'll check is getting a bye. They need a win. They need a Brewers to get one loss. The one seed is also within grasp. How important do you think it is for them to get the one seed, not from a mental perspective, but from having as many home games as they could possibly have, especially if they end up meeting, you know, the Dodgers or even the Padres in the NLCS?
I think, to be honest, I think just getting the bye, first or second seed, is secondary to getting a rest for these guys. And trying getting back to 100% before the playoffs start. I think that's Thompson's feeling, it's more important to have that rest and still get things set up the way you want, and then basically take it from there. I think the home field advantage is huge, obviously, here, but I think that it's more important at this point to make sure everybody's healthy. Maybe Harper's arm or wrist or elbow has a little more time to heal. Austin Hayes gets his feet under him a little bit better. Things like that. And I think I think what they're looking at is just let's just get the bye. Let's not get overly concerned about the first or second seed because the importance is getting that little bit of rest.
Larry Anderson with us, as he is every Wednesday at 3:00. So assuming they get a bye and they're able to set up the rotation as they would, if you were setting the rotation, Chris Sanchez's numbers at home are much better than on the road. Would you consider starting him at the number two spot so his first start is at home as opposed to Nola in that first series?
I wouldn't consider it. I would absolutely do it.
Oh, there you go. Do you think Topper would consider it?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a Topper. I don't know him personally, but he does seem Nola's my two. He's my guy. I'm going to put him there. So that's why I ask.
I think, I totally agree in that respect for Topper. I mean, he's the manager, and he's going to make that decision. But if it was me, I would start him here in the second game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nola's pitched. He can pitch on the road in the playoff game. He can pitch at home. I think there's a big difference between Sanchez, you know, doing it here, and that's my feeling. I think he's been so good at this ballpark. Take advantage of that, and that's where I would go. I mean, but that's, you know, I agree. Topper's like, you know, he's been the guy. He's a big game pitcher. You know, saying he comes up big in all these clinching games. But that's remains to be seen. I think it also might depend on who we're playing.
Sure.
That I think obviously that's going to be a big part of it too. That if it's somebody that he feels maybe Nola can handle better against an offense that maybe he's had more success against, then I think it makes it even more of a possibility that you start Sanchez at home. If it's the other way around, maybe not. It just depends.
So, you know, as it stands now, we really have no idea who we would face in the NLDS. You know, it could be the Mets, Braves, Diamondbacks, Padres, Brewers. Is there one team on that list that you think you'd feel most comfortable with the Phillies playing in the NLDS?
For me, honestly, I don't think any team's overly confident playing anybody that's in this mix.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't see a team that I say, well, I'm not worried about them at all. And part of that is, to me, that is the lack of our offense in the second half, consistency in the offense. I mean, we can go out and throw up a 12-run game like we did the other night. Then we can turn around and have a game where we don't get a hit for the first five innings. And that just, it varies. I just, the inconsistency there scares me as much as anything. But this team can go on a roll with any other team too. But I think everybody in this kind of looks at it the same way. It's like, well, you look at the Dodgers lineup, but then their pitching is a little suspect right now.
Yeah.
And so there's all, everybody has flaws. So I don't think any team is overly confident going against any other team.
It's pretty amazing because at the beginning of the year, the rest of the National League looked like nobody really stuck out. And now it looks like every team making the playoffs.
Like hitting their stride
now. It's incredible. It seems like the best National League I can remember in a long time, at least at the top of it.
Yeah, I mean, the parity. And you look at that, and I think baseball loves that. And I think, you know, it's what the Mets are, 23-6 now in their last 29. They're playing well. Arizona's had some struggles, but I think they might have a little more confidence going against us because of last year or the last series there. But they're just, again, I just think everybody is capable of going the whole way in this thing. And these teams in this final six teams or whatever. Yeah. Final six teams, seven teams all battling it out. I think it's up in the air. I mean, obviously I believe in the Phillies, and I think they can do it, but I'm certainly not overconfident no matter who they play.
I got to tell you, as a baseball fan, L.A., and obviously you're a former player, how do you like sort of the parity that's out there now in baseball? I know we obviously all want the Phillies to win the World Series, but if I'm just looking at it as a fan, I kind of like that a lot of the teams are sort of close in ability. Yeah. Like, it should make for a bunch of interesting series.
Oh, no question. I mean, it should be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, no matter who's there, it really is. It's, you know, it's funny how you get, like, the teams that they're in the playoff hunt versus the teams that are out of it. It's like there's some poor teams. But, you know, throughout the season, it was like no matter who you played, whether it was Cincinnati or Pittsburgh, you could run into some good pitching. You could run into some good hitting.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an easy road. I think the Phillies, because of the start they got off to in that first half, made it a little easier. But there's some talent out there.
Yeah,
and to have these teams that we have now, and to say seven teams that are vying for it, no matter how it turns out, it should be really exciting. And I think as a fan, I think people like that.
Right.
Although I think the fans here would probably prefer.
Sure.
The Phillies were heads and tails above everybody else.
I would.
Sure.
Yeah,
yes.
I would prefer they win every single game, actually. It would be better for my anxiety.
So, exactly.
So, last one from us, LA.
Yeah.
So, yesterday on the show, I have to ask you, as a not only former player, legendary broadcaster, 93 Philly, I think will become important. Yesterday on the show, I said at the beginning of it that while I think they should celebrate winning the NL East, and they should have fun, and they should be proud of themselves, I was watching the celebration on Tuesday night thinking to myself, wait a minute, are we punting a game tomorrow? We got to win. We got to get a bye. Is that out of line, I guess? Do you think that doing that the night before a game, when you do have a win you can get, you know, Dodgers went and lost last night, all that sort of stuff, do you think that is an appropriate thought, I guess, to have?
I think to go out and celebrate is fine. You know, having a couple of social sparklers, I don't think hurt anybody.
But if you get social point, sparklers, I don't think I've heard that one
before. We're going to steal that. We're stealing that, just so you know.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually from one of my good friends, may he rest in peace, David West, used to.
Oh, yeah.
Going out and having a social sparkler.
I like that.
But it's, I think you have to, there has to be moderation with everything. And I think that especially in that situation, there probably should be a little moderation, but I guess, you know, some guys can recover better than others. Lots of coffee, lots of caffeine.
Come on, man. Stubby dove over the first baseman last
you know
night. I thought he was going to get up and maybe, you know, upchuck a little bit.
Stubby was the least of my worries. I know that dude can handle it. He's built for this.
Exactly.
All right, L.A. Well, we got the playoffs coming up, and I would like to congratulate you and all of us for not having to watch any more Taiwan starts the rest of the year. That's me saying it, not you saying it.
It was I've been maybe not quite to that extent. I've been there, but
yeah,
we've all struggled, and it's I feel bad, but it's. Man, you got to figure something out there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, there he is, Larry Anderson.
All right, brother.
Next time we'll talk to you, we won't even know who we're going to play because there won't be any Phillies baseball going on, God willing. But we will talk to you next week. We appreciate it as always, L.A.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks, man. Right. 93 Phillies were kings of moderation, I think. They're very good at moderation. Chuck in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
Fico, Spico, and Jacko, what is the deal?
What up, Chuck?
Hey, listen, I say this from the bottom of my heart. I really do, right? Get my pleasantries, bro. I want to say you guys have settled into a great show. I didn't say that on the air since Spike joined the show, but it's very, very good listening.
Oh, thank you, man.
Now, let me rant, okay? Would you? Now, listen, I just want to say this, right? I went back and I watched that game again just last night. But for the life of me, I had to watch it again. And for me, the players are coming in late now. You know what I mean? If you notice, the plays are coming in more late now than what they were against Green Bay. Now, you know, that's one of two things. You know, either the communication is off or this coach is involved, too involved. Okay? Now, I'm telling you right now, I'm at wit's end with this head coach. He's become more of a liability and a problem than an asset. And this is dating back to last year. Okay? You know, you had problems with the players. You know, and players were starting to, you know, side-eye you a little bit. Now you're starting to interfere with the offensive coordinator. You know, what I'm saying is this. I don't know what to do with this guy. Fit him in a straitjacket, maybe fit him in a swoosh uniform, maybe throw him in the bathroom. I don't know what to do with this guy. I just want him to stay away from my offensive coordinator, okay, and my quarterback, all right? Because the thing about it is this. You're messing up the rhythm of the game. Okay, and that is very important, you know, when it comes to Sunday and football and winning football games. All right, you know, just stay away, man. There's too many chefs in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? Let Kellen Moore do what he does, man. You know what I mean? The plays coming in quick against Green Bay. Now it's starting to come in a little later, and I'm noticing that. Another thing I've noticed too that bothers me with Jalen Hurts is not the turnovers. Okay, the turnovers he's going to get together. You know, if history serves us right,
Bill.
He's going to get the turnovers right. Yeah. He's going to, you know, because he's not a turnover prone quarterback. That's just
Bill. Well, he has almost half his career at this point.
Yeah. Lately, he has been. But what I'm saying is, it's just the reads that's bothering me more than anything.
Okay.
You know, he had Dallas Goedert wide open for a touchdown.
He did.
Okay? And
twice, by the way, twice.
Right there. Yeah. And he runs into the end zone. He walks into the end zone. And that's the difference between winning by 3 points and winning by 10 or 17 points and blowing the game wide open. You can't miss those reads, man. I'm telling you, that's going to come back to haunt us. Turnovers, I think he's going to get together. But those reads, man, you've got to hit on those reads, especially when you have an opportunity. It's hard in the NFL to sustain drives, 10, 15 play drives, without turning the ball over eventually. Well, those quick hits, you've got to hit that, man. And that's what's bothering me with the quarterback. Now, I'll tell you, I don't care if A.J. Brown come back healthy. I don't care if Devontae Smith come back healthy. What I'm saying is Dallas Goedert. You know what I mean? And I just goes for Kellen Moore, too. Dallas Goedert got to be a part of his offense.
Yes.
I need him to be targeted, okay? I don't need him just because A.J.'s out and Devontae's out. Oh, it's by default.
Right.
Give him the ball.
No, yep.
He opens up everything.
He does. He does.
Everybody else.
Yep.
If that guy's running across the middle, and he could break one on you. You're worried about this tight end. Now you got AJ on the outside, who's a monster. You got Devontae Smith on the outside. And you got Saquon in the back. He's licking his chops to run a 30 or 40-yard play. I need Kellen Moore, you know what I'm saying, and Jalen Hurts to understand this. Get Dallas Goedert the football. Target him. He needs to be 8 to 10 targets a game.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, especially in the red zone. We got one of the worst red zone offenses in the league right now.
Can I say we probably won't have a problem with Dallas Goedert
this week.
You know, Devontae wasn't at practice. AJ wasn't at practice per Elliott.
Yeah.
And then Lane Johnson was there stretching. But I can't imagine that either guy is going to play, Devontae or AJ. So we're going to have a healthy dose of Dallas Goedert, I think, on Sunday. But hopefully that sticks. And, Chuck, the only thing I'll say about the read reads. And Jalen, I think you're right, but I do think the turnovers are connected to that.
Yeah, I hear you, Spike. But what I'm saying is this: I'm going off of Jalen's track record, long term. Okay, long term, he has not been a turnover prone quarter. I don't know what's happened.
It's 21 games. It's 21 games of 26 turnovers.
Man, can you let the guy have an opinion?
Yeah,
but
come on,
but
Jeff.
At some point,
let Chuck have his
the
opinion.
The guy's
put your
a fumbling
ego. Check
turnover
your ego
machine.
At the door.
Well, no one's holding Chuck accountable.
Well, you get no one's holding this dumbass coach accountable. Okay,
everyone holds him accountable. What are we talking about?
All we're doing is holding the coach accountable.
Yeah, you gotta keep holding him accountable. It's the reason why
he's mainly talking about me. He's talking about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold him accountable.
I know it. I know it.
They're really starting to go after Ike Reese now.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Chuck. Listen. It's leaning heavily in your favor right now. That's all I'm saying. It's leaning in your favor right now.
We do. Thank you for the call, Chuck. We do.
That's why I haven't given you much pushback on it.
Now,
last 2 weeks.
Coach Sirianni, now the
I
quote.
I didn't want to hear that after week one.
The quote we played from Sirianni was from Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
He did speak today.
Okay.
He did speak more
okay.
about the play calling responsibilities
let this go,
with Kellen Moore.
He's got to be sick
Poor
of having to answer.
You know,
well, I'm just wondering, is he answering it, though?
Well,
that's the problem. The questions aren't the problem. It's how much he dives into it.
I think he gave his best answer,
I would say,
on the
too.
Matter.
Yeah.
Oh, today?
Today.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard or seen it. Okay, so I'll wait.
So we will play you that. And not only that.
I'm already tensed up
over
here.
No. I think it's good. I think it's a good answer.
All right.
I was going to suggest, we had a good conversation with Nick a couple of weeks ago during Radiothon. I think the three of us need to just get in a room with Nick and say, here's how I would handle it.
I don't want him anywhere near Coach Sirianni.
All I'm saying is that I think Sirianni and I would be great friends.
No, hell no.
Don't know if I want to coach my football team, but as far as like guys.
Just hanging out, yeah.
You go to
two
Zach
small
Bryan.
School guys.
See, oh, dude, we could bond over Division III, Division II baseball all day.
Forget going to Creed with me. You and Sirianni going to Creed would be we'll get you a car, get you a black truck.
By the way, he's 100% an IPA's man.
Definitely an IPA guy.
Yeah. Come on, me and Nick.
Yeah. All right. So coming up next, we will play you the audio. Nick did speak again about the play calling responsibilities and how it is divvied up. So we have that coming up next. Then we have Baldy coming up at 4. He's probably going to fight with Ike. And then right after Baldy, Jalen Hurts is going to talk today, and maybe somebody will ask him about it. That'll be around 4:15.
And Elliot will be there. He assured me.
Yes.
So finally doing his job.
Yeah, I can't believe. Well, he might have heard about today's Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings, which have changed.
He should be,
has changed. So all of that is coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Spike and Fritz. WIP Afternoon Show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. 2 weeks. Fritz, who is it? Oh, you said who it was the other day.
Yeah.
It is an Indian rapper.
Yeah, I saw it. Somebody mentioned
it is?
That.
Oh,
yes.
I was going to say, and I still don't know who it is.
Sounds like Lil Wayne, right? Sort of. A little bit. Turn back up. Artist, TikTok. That's who the artist is.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're a TikTok show.
Yeah, we are a TikTok show. Well, did you finally download it?
So I downloaded it. I didn't really create an account just because you sent me TikToks and I couldn't see it without being in the app.
There you go.
Yeah. Of course.
All right. So I'm going to keep sending you TikToks. There used to
be a way you could just click on it, open up on like a browser. But now they make you open it in the app, which sucks. But I'm still a Reels man.
Between your FanDuel app and TikTok, I don't want you looking at your kid. I just want you looking at the phone.
No, that's not healthy.
215-592-9494. We are talking today about which problem you think is more likely to be fixed, Jalen's turnovers or Nick Sirianni's decision-making. Now, we do have a quote from today's press availability about play calling, Kellen's role, Nick Sirianni's role. Nick talked about it today. We will get to that right after we talk to Chris in Middletown. You're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Happy hump day, man.
What's up, Chris?
What up, Chris?
No pause on that, huh?
Hump day? No. Come on.
What are you, five?
Yeah, you got to get dirtier for a pause.
That's
from
nothing. What's elementary school?
Yeah. What are you standing behind and pushing forward?
Yeah. Sorry, you went down that road, aren't you?
Yeah. Two, maybe three. Mike, is that where you're at?
Well, keeping everybody honest. So you must be really anticipating every Wednesday at 4:30. We release the new Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. You were very high last week, number two. Now I'm not giving it away, but
I was number four.
I thought he was two.
No.
Are you sure?
Last week he bumped down back to four, yeah?
Oh, yeah, you were four. Yep, you're correct. You're correct.
Yeah. So I am highly anticipating moving up. And again, I want to let it be known to the audience that the caller in Middletown has been reporting weekly where Dr. Dope, Sparty, Paperboy, and Wormbrain have been kind of quiet. So I don't know.
We'll see.
Little bit of movement there. I expect to be moving up.
We'll discuss in about an hour.
We'll see. Guys, if I could chime in on this whole Nick thing.
Yeah.
What does he do? Okay, because I don't see him bringing any value. He talks and he talks, and I feel like I'm listening to a politician sometimes. Like, now we got, like, the assistant to the assistant equipment guy that also chimes in the plays. Like, he's talking about all these guys and, oh, this guy gives me feedback and that guy gives me feedback. And I think he does a lot of long talking sometimes and he thinks it sounds good, but it's just nonsense. Like, you've been on those sidelines. I've only ever watched and helped coach on a high school level, and I know our OC would have been punching people in the throat if all these people kept giving them input in the middle of a game. Halftime's a different case, but on an NFL sideline, are that many people going up to the OC, or are that many people going up to the head coach who's constantly in the ear of the OC? Like, what is it really
I play for Andy Reid, so no, that wasn't happening. That wasn't happening.
Okay, maybe bad. Yeah.
No, but I get the point that you're making, and here's what I think is different. I played 20 years ago. There is this sense of collaboration now amongst franchises and coaching staffs. So when it's not so much you see guys going up to the coach offering advice or collaborating, it's on that headset where they're talking, where the head coach has the ability to hear the OC. He can hear the quarterback's coach. Like, he can hear whomever he needs to hear, and they all can hear him because he has the main switch. And I think that's where the collaboration is going. I don't think every play it's five or six guys, but if there's the passing game coordinator, the Stoutland ever get in there with the run game coordinator, I would be concerned. It's too many chefs in the kitchen. I would be concerned with that when I hear this. That is my fear. That, hold on, there are too many people who has an opinion. But it only matters if Kellen Moore is bothered by it.
And here's the other part with the too many chefs in the kitchen. We have all of these voices going in there and all of this constant input and different. So then I think the problem is it spills out onto the field. And maybe, and again, maybe, that's why Jalen has run into this turnover problem, because you can't get into a flow of a game. And I think when Steichen was there, it was a lot more straightforward, or maybe now we've got too many chefs in the kitchen. I don't know. All I know is something is still off with the product, and we know we've upgraded coordinators. We know I see the defense making.
So what other thing is the, hold on, Chris. What other thing is the same? The head coach is the same. What other thing in this whole scenario, perhaps a player, because the center is not the same. So the one player who touches the ball on literally every offensive possession, who would that person be?
The quarterback.
Okay.
I know.
But everyone keeps saying the offense looks too similar and looks too simple, and now nobody sees any of the motion. So the only thing I'll say here, Chris, is you can't on one hand say, what does he do? And then on the other hand say, he's doing something, he shouldn't be doing it. And as a head coach, his job at the press conference is to sound like a politician, is to not give you answers. In fact, I wish he was better at being
yeah,
a politician.
Exactly.
I think part of, thank you for the call, Chris. I think part of the problem is he has not perfected giving it. Howie's really good at this. Howie's really good at you asking him a question. He gives you an answer. It sounds like he answered the question, but he didn't actually. And that's what Nick should be doing, is sounding like he is giving you something that is an answer, mm-hmm. but isn't. That's it. His job is to be a politician, yeah. is to not answer these questions, you know, because otherwise, as Ike pointed out, we're getting the confusion because he's giving you too much instead of not giving you anything.
You know who wasn't good at that? Andy Reid. That's why he didn't say a whole lot.
Yeah, that's why we got.
yes.
Yeah, that's why we got better job.
Yeah.
So Nick did talk today about the play calling responsibilities and his role. Here is what happened. Kellen's the driver. I'm the passenger.
Yeah, that could have been the end of it right there.
Yes. He does try to fill up too many.
You're not filibustering.
Yeah, that could have been the end of it, and that would have been a perfect answer.
I have an idea. So I said that maybe we should meet with Nick Sirianni. I think John Johnson should meet with Nick Sirianni because John has to do the overnight show and has learned how to fill the time, mm-hmm. you know, so maybe instead. So what Nick should do is instead of giving that long answer, he should say, look, Kellen is the drives the car. I'm the passenger. Occasionally I'll say, hey, maybe you should take a left here. Here's my snack of the week.
And he should go out there. Here's my snack of the week.
Yep, and Nick Sirianni should eat a candy bar and go.
What else y'all got?
That's what he should do. Play that one again. That's what we need. Andrew and Berwick, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up, Andrew?
All right, actually, Andrew, hold on a sec. You're there. You're going to give your thing. I've backed off the rules. You know, I think that everyone participates in the rules. We do have to start reinforcing the how are we doing
yeah.
thing. We're doing fine. Andrew, I appreciate you asking. That's the one thing. It has crept back. And Andrew, I'm appreciative that...
Don't bite Andrew's head off.
No.
This is the first time he's called.
He's trying to have fun with the show.
Yeah.
Are you doing this because today's the anniversary of the Bill of Rights being introduced?
What anniversary?
Yeah, I guess it was the anniversary of when the Bill of Rights came out.
Oh, the actual Bill of Rights.
Yeah, the actual Bill of Rights.
The actual Bill of Rights.
No, I'm not doing it.
And you may be the only one who knew that.
Well, on this day.
So I'm going to start grunting again when people ask how we're doing, except for the first caller of the day. All right, Andrew. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
So personally, I think that, you know, you guys, like you're asking people which is more likely to get fixed. I'm going to be a little different here. In my opinion, I think both could get fixed. Realistically, because I think that, you know, like, people were talking about 2022 Hurts and stuff and how he was, like, you know, just on point 24/7 and stuff. I think last year was a little bit of a, like, his ego got bruised a little bit because he wasn't playing as well and he was turning the ball over a lot. And I think that, you know, we need to start by running the ball first and letting the run game open up and then throwing some RPOs and getting Goddard the ball in those little short out routes that he likes to run. And then you can start opening up the deep play. Because, I mean, obviously, if I see A.J. Brown running downfield one-on-one, I'm going to throw it up to him. I think anybody would.
So let me ask you this, Andrew. If the other team, and that is optimal, I think starting with Saquon Barkley, establishing the run, blah, 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 all that stuff is optimal. What if you're the offensive coordinator, you're Kellen Moore, and Nick Sirianni isn't talking in your headphones, and you line up for the first offensive play, and the other team has decided the one thing we're not going to allow. It, the same thing that we did with Alvin Kamara, by the way. Put extra guys on the line of scrimmage, have one extra guy. We're going to make sure that Saquon Barkley does not beat us. Then what are you doing?
I mean, I think I would start letting running screen routes if they're going to have everybody up in the box like that.
Okay.
I like that Goddard screen play that they do, mm-hmm. that they've done in years past. I think that you get like 5-6 yards plus out of that every time. So I don't know why we go away from it. And like also, like Barkley's a good backfield catcher, so let him run a screen, I think.
Yeah. Have we run a screen with Saquon yet?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I can't remember one.
No, I can't remember one either.
What are we doing?
Well, it's the actually, was that... I guess it wasn't a screen. It was
no, that wasn't a screen.
The third and the fourth down call.
No.
Yeah.
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 No. Man, we used to be one of the better screen
teams in the league. Imagine Andy with Saquon. It's probably because Jalen doesn't go under center. I mean, if he went under center, he could set that play up.
You might be right. Yeah. Yeah, that could be it.
Well,
sure.
Well, that's not a big deal.
Dude, yeah. They haven't ran a screen.
No. Under center? What are you even talking about?
Well, part of Josh, I know you're doing a bit, but part of Josh Allen like turning his kind of career around, they put him under center more.
Oh.
I know. I know. Crazy idea.
Yeah.
I think he went 4 times under center on Sunday.
So is what you're saying, Jack, that if you want to be a running team, that if you put your quarterback under center, that play action might work a little bit better, you know? Is that what you're saying? Because we've seen the RPOs not work really anymore. So why would you... Now, Kellen Moore, historically, has put his quarterback under center.
Uh-huh.
So why would you think that we're not doing that?
Because he's a bum! I can't stand you, man.
Mike and Delrand, you're on WIP. What's up, Mike?
Hey, can I ask a question? And it's not how you doing.
Yep.
I got a question. So there's 32 teams in the NFL, and all 32 teams have a head coach, a defensive coordinator, and an offensive coordinator. How many other markets do you think are beating to death this stuff about Sirianni? I don't know why everybody's so surprised that this is who we have, because this is all who we thought we were getting when he got hired. Like, there's way more problems than Nick Sirianni right now. And you ask who's more fixable, I don't really care if we have to fix Nick at all. The guy's been in the league for 3 full seasons. He's been in the playoffs 3 times and 1 Super Bowl. We have a quarterback that we paid a ton of money that no matter who's telling him what to do, he's making mistakes with the ball. That's what's got to get fixed. It's not Sirianni. It's the defense, which did great this past week, right? Mm-hmm. It's Jalen Hurts needs to understand when not to try to play that hero ball. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that needs to get fixed.
Nah, that's not the only thing, Mike.
Him. Like, he puts the team on his back when he runs. He does great. Like, he's great. There are those 2 or 3 plays that either he doesn't hold the ball with 2 hands or he tries to squeeze something in that just doesn't need to be squeezed in. Mm-hmm. Take those things away, and this team is the team that we hope they would be.
Well, what about the 2 or 3 plays in the last 2 games that the coach made critical decisions on that backfired?
100% correct. Like, but the problem is when he made those calls in the past and they worked, we loved it.
Yeah, and when Jalen threw those balls in the past and it worked, we loved it.
Yeah, no doubt. So he's got to get back to that.
And maybe Nick needs to get back to figuring out whether or not he wants to be aggressive, he wants to be conservative. Like, I mean, that's part of it too.
But at the end of the day, Nick can be gone in a heartbeat. Jalen's going to be here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to get fixed. Go Birds.
Okay.
I think we found our first Nick guy on the phones.
Yeah.
We've been doing the show for 3 days this week after that.
I don't know if he's a Nick guy as much as he's just more pressure. He's more focused on Jalen Hurts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what some people do, they would rather say, I know what Nick is, and I don't expect much of him. This is where Jalen has to fix it. And I can understand that. I can understand it. Like I don't think there's an excuse for the interceptions. I really don't. I look at all of them, and I say they could have been avoided. They could have been avoided. If you want to tell me one was more egregious than the other, okay, that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, these are plays that were avoidable.
Mm-hmm.
They were avoidable with good quarterback decision making. That has to get back to being better. I can make the argument, Spike, Fritzy, that at least Jalen has shown that he's capable of not turning the ball over. Has Nick really shown that he's capable of putting his imprint on the game and it being a positive thing? I don't know what to parse from 2022. I don't know. Shane Steichen went and got a head coaching job. Offense didn't look the same the next year. It didn't look the same the next year. So I don't know how much input Nick had on 2022 when it comes to how the offense flows. Since Shane Steichen has been gone, whether Nick had imprint or input last year and what he's doing this year, all I know is that it doesn't seem like the offense has rhythm. It doesn't seem like it's playing complementary football. And I don't know how much of that trickles down to everyone else.
Yeah, I actually think, even though we beat it all to death, I actually think that question, the answer to it, is the most interesting and fascinating of all of it. Because it's true. What you say is true. There's also been quarterbacks who have had one or two good years, mm-hmm. and the league figures out what they can do and can't do.
True.
And then all of a sudden, they're never effective again. So this is why it's such a difficult debate for all of us. And when people bring up, they're not doing this, and they should be doing this, and they should be doing this, and I say, well, the quarterback's the same, and we have the same issue, so what do you think it is? That's why it's such a puzzling question, because we truly don't know if it is Nick Sirianni going in there and saying, we want this simple thing, don't do that. I know you're the offensive coordinator, but mm-hmm. don't do that. Or if the offensive coordinator gets in there, sees what the quarterback is good at and not good at, and sees
now
what he's struggling with.
Fix around it.
Yes, that's why the under center thing is I don't know.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, that's why I keep bringing it up.
Well, it's clear he doesn't prefer to be under center. Like,
right.
we can, that's the nicest way I can put it,
yes.
right? Like, it's just that he doesn't prefer to be under center, because if he did, he would be under center more.
You would think.
Yes.
But what people would come back and say is, well, but that's Nick putting his imprint on the offense. And,
right.
But I don't know. All I know is I don't see it happening. It doesn't. It seems like it would help.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think it's more because he doesn't like being under center.
Right. And that, I'm not saying it makes it impossible for them to have an effective offense. What I am saying is that we have all sort of resorted to this. Okay, mm-hmm. they got to be a running team. Run, 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 run,
run.
It
limits what they can do.
It limits the effectiveness of the running game if
sure.
you won't go under center.
Yep.
It just does. Now, it doesn't mean they can't work around it. But
which
it
is what they've obviously tried to do.
Tried to do.
Yes.
But I can tell you for sure that the play action that everybody wants to see or the screens that Jack brought up are far less likely to be effective unless he's under center.
Completely agree.
So, all right, coming up next, a good guy to ask all of these questions is Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL insider, studies the tape. I actually we'll ask him about that with Jalen, and then about anything that perhaps he saw that the Eagles did differently scheme-wise against the Saints that they had done previously that may or may not be more effective moving forward this year. So that is coming up next. We do have the Twitter question, which is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. Which do you believe is more fixable? Jalen's turnover issue, Nick's decision-making. 63% say Jalen's turnover issue more fixable. Baldy is up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.